Mark chapter 2. Everybody's settling down now, being real still, and I want to bring you the message that I feel like the Lord's weighed on my heart. Mark chapter number 2 this morning, and I want to show you a verse of Scripture here, a verse that's very well known, and bring you a message from that thought today. It's from a statement Jesus made, and I want to just pull it out there and verse deal with it this morning. Verse 17, Mark chapter 2. Verse 17. And Jesus heard it. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician. That means there ain't nothing wrong with you, you don't need to go to the doctor. But they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said that people have no need of a physician, but they that are sick do. The Lord was comparing here. He made a comparison. He said, I've not come to righteous good people. They don't need no help. Right. I've come to help sinners. Amen. And he was comparing that to somebody being sick. He said, if a person's sick, they don't need to go to the doctor. Yeah. But if they're sick, they need a doctor. So I'm going to preach this morning on the subject, are you sick? Are you sick? And I want to say a few things about that this morning. And I want to say, use it as a thought this morning. The Lord said, if you're not sick, I can't help you. Are you sick? Three things I want to say this morning. Now, it's going to wind up very serious. So I want you to listen carefully to me today. There is one little girl one time. She's real sick in church. And she got real sick, thought she was going to throw up. And the mama didn't warn her. She said, no, honey, you can't throw up in here. She said, Mom, I'm going to throw up. She said, run to the bathroom, honey. Run to the restroom. You had to go down a long hallway, down steps, out and toward up, then go to the restroom. And she goes running out like this. And then about like a minute later, she comes running right back in, sits back down. She said, did you throw up? She said, mm-hmm. And she said, how did you do that so fast? She said, it's a long way down there to the restroom. She said, oh no, Mommy, there's a box right back there that says, for the sick. So that's what she, yeah, but that was an offering box. I hate to have been the usher that had to collect that offering out of there, wouldn't you? But the Lord said, they that are sick need not a physician. They that are sick need not a physician. Now the question I'm talking spiritually this morning, I want to ask you is, are you sick? Number one, are you sick of self ruling your life? Are you sick of self ruling your life? I have never in my lifetime seen a group of people more dominated and controlled by pleasing self than the day we're living in. We're living in a time when people are absolutely given over to pleasing their self. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in the last days, men shall be what? Lovers of their own self. Have you noticed nowadays that people are in love with their self? I know some people could get along with their spouse if they'd divorced their self. That's their main love in life, is their self. They are totally engrossed in their self. And me, I, and some of you sitting right here this morning, you live to please yourself. And that's why you're miserable this morning. You'll never be happy just living for me, self, 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 self. The most selfish people in the world are the most miserable people in the world. Because the Lord didn't make us to live like that. You want what you want. You don't care who it hurts. You don't care who don't like it. You don't care who you have to step on. You don't care who you have to mash that. You're going to get what you want. And aren't you sick of self ruling your life? You won't get up to come to church, but you'll get up to go fishing or Carowinds or the beach or anywhere else. You won't make any sacrifice for the Lord, but you'll. I read this the other day, and it said the self life. And I want to read you this. I don't read much when I'm preaching, hardly ever, but I do want to read you this. Somebody wrote this about the self life. I want you to listen. And it said this: the self life has a disposition to look at everything with an eye as how it will affect self. That means everything you see and do, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, how's this going to benefit me? And if it ain't going to benefit me, I don't want to be a part of it. They, instinctively, it is forever looking out for number one. If self preaches or prays or sings or gives money or time to God's work, it has a keen facility for seeing how the results will affect its own honor or happiness. Self is always unwittingly manifesting itself. It talks incessantly of its own doings and its great achievements. It relates incidents in its past life in such a way as to show self to the best advantage. It never admits to the humiliation or defeat. It seems never to see its own faults, but always speaks of its victories and always makes the other person suffer defeat and disgrace. And it goes on and on and on and on, saying, me, I, like a little boy, these two little boys riding one of them ponies, you know, like it. And he turned, it was pushing each other and pushing, and he looked around and he said, if one of us would get off, I could ride this thing better. That's self. That's the way self operates. That's the way self thinks. You know what self is? It's me first, you next. We're instinctively like that. It's human nature. But a Christian, we're not supposed to live by self. The Bible said, let each esteem others better than himself. Let the other guy get in the front of the line. Let the other. I mean, we're natured like that. We're natured to hurry up and beat everybody, get everybody in the front of the line, beat this, do this, do that. And you have to watch it that self don't rule your life. Amen? You sure do. You got to watch out for it. Said a little girl one time, a teacher took their students to a field trip. And on this field trip, they went to a dairy. And they saw how the cows give milk, and they saw how they bottle the milk, and they saw how it was put in crates, and they saw how it was put in bottles, and it was shipped off, and they saw all this stuff that they did with the milk, and they saw all this stuff, you know. And at the end, she said, now, does anybody have any questions? Anybody have any questions today, kids? And the little girl said, I do. And she said, did you notice my new shoes? Did you notice my new shoes? Had nothing to do with the field trip. All that girl thought, she didn't care about no field trip, school, or nothing. All she thought about, I've got on new shoes. Which I do today. Notice that? But I want to tell you something. Listen, brother. Are you sick of letting self ruin your life? Ladies and gentlemen, I read about old Joe Namath, that quarterback, you know, for the New York Jets years ago. And old Joe, he had everything a person could want. He is on top of the world. And somebody asked him one time, I said, Joe, are you happy? And he looked back at him and he said, happy? What's that? He said, I don't think I've been happy more than 2 weeks in my whole life. And I'm telling you, that's the way a person who lives for self always winds up. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, are you sick of self ruling your life? Amen? Be yourself is the worst advice you could give some people. People always say, just be yourself. I don't believe I'd tell a lot of folks that. Amen? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, self. You say, well, it's a rat race out there, preacher. Somebody said this. They said, if you win the rat race, remember this, you're still a rat. Amen? That's right. Down just higher, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, are you sick of self ruling your life? But let me say secondly this morning, are you sick of sin ruining your life? Are you sick of sin ruining your life? I tell you, we preach it all the time. We see it all the time. Sin will ruin your life. Sin is just like fire. Fire always tears up everything. If I lit a fire in here this morning, it'll destroy this seat. It'll burn this wood up. It'll ruin everything in here. That's the way sin is. Sin ruins everything it touches. Young people, you want your life to be ruined? You just get out there and mess around with sin. There's people here this morning who's already seeing your life ruined by sin. We don't take it seriously enough because the world jokes about it. But I'm telling you this morning, how many smart, talented, educated, witty people are of absolutely no use to God or anybody because of sin ruining their life. Sin ruins their life. Sin will show you the gooder, but not the gutter. Sin will show you the outside of something, but never the inside. Sin will show you the bait, but not the hook. Sin will show you the pretty side. I mean, you'll be going down the road, and you'll see this big old billboard there, and there's a guy, you know, and he's got a Bud Dumber drinking it, and he's got a, he's sitting on the hood of a Corvette, and there's a beautiful girl, and he's all healthy and everything, and you think, man, that's the life right there. The devil just shows you the front side. He just shows you the front side. He'll never show you the back side. Give him about 30 years, check back with him. I mean, where he's lost everything is God. Maybe in hell, maybe done gone on to meet God. Listen, are you letting sin ruin your life? I said a while ago, that 100 people a day die in this country now because of their addiction to painkillers. We are seeing, they're saying, it's an epidemic. 2,500 kids a day now are getting on pain medicine. My cousin in West Virginia, she said, Danny, it's so sad up here. She said, everybody's on some kind of medicine. And I'm not fussing at you. It's you're sick and you got to take medicine. But about half of you could throw about three-fourths of your medicine away and probably be better off. That's true. Now, I ain't a doctor, but I'm telling you, if you're healthy and 20 years old and 30 years old, you don't have to have something go to sleep every night. And you don't have to have something. Listen, you get up 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, work till 11 tomorrow night, and lay down and pray a while. You go to sleep. I guarantee you. You don't have to have a pill to wake up, stay up, stay down, stay up, stay calm, get up, get wild, get calm. You don't have to have a pill for everything. I'm telling you, brother, we are living in a generation that is addicted themselves to pills. And ladies and gentlemen, you hear me this morning. You know, I hurt my knee. They gave me some pretty strong medicine on there, and I couldn't stay awake. And I said, is this, why does anybody want to feel like this? I hate that feeling. Lord have mercy. I want to be awake during the daytime. I might miss something. Amen. You might want to give on the tent, and I wouldn't even know it. I mean, you might want to buy me another pair of shoes, and I wouldn't know about it. I want to know what's going on, amen. I want to know what's happening. I don't want to be let sin ruin my life. They said this young Olympian star was training for the Olympics, and he got out one night and got drunk, and he was like so many athletes do. A lot of them athletes get out there and they get a little money, like old Jeremy Lin, you know, nobody ever heard of him. Not long ago, and then all of a sudden, he's sleeping on his brother's couch. Went in and played a few good games, boy, and now he's got him a $3,800 a month penthouse in New York City. And you know, a lot of them guys like that, you dump in, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 on them, and the temptation is there to sin. And people say, wonder why those movie stars and everything fall into sin? Money, brother. Money. I mean, when you can afford it, that temptation is it's enticing. Because you know you can buy anything you want and have anything you want. And boy, that's why them girls like Lindsay Lohan and all them get on all of that medicine. They can afford it. That's why Whitney Houston did. That's why Michael Jackson did. They can afford it. And you just keep buying stuff and more pills and more pills and more pills. And that guy got drunk, and he was out one night driving 75 miles an hour. He slid 397 feet and hit some teenagers, knocked them 60 feet down the road. There was a trail of blood. He was training to be in the Olympics, lost his career, lost everything. He killed two of them and is now doing 17 years in prison. You know what happened? Sin ruined his life. Now, I'm going to say to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, are you sick of sin ruining your life? You'll never come to God until you get sick of what you're doing. As long as you're living the high life, you think you're cool, you ain't going to get right. But one day, somewhere, sometime, you're going to get sick of it. And you're going to say, I'm sick of sin. And Jesus said, I come to help them that are sick. Are you sick of sin ruining your life? I said, number one, are you sick of self ruling your life? I said, number two, are you sick of sin ruining your life? Number three, are you sick of Satan running your life? Aren't you sick of Satan running your life? Now, I want to tell you something this morning. You may not believe this, but I'm going to tell you that this morning. You may not understand this. You may not believe it. But your Bible says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 39, there was a man in there. It said he was driven of the devil into the wilderness. He was driven of the devil. It didn't say he was full of the devil. It didn't say he was living for the devil. It said he was driven by the devil. Have you ever studied that? People ask me, they say,
Preacher, is demons still working today? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. More than ever. The Bible said in the last days that people will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Ladies and gentlemen, we are seeing a generation driven by Satan. Are you sick of Satan running your life? Do you think there could be a person here this morning that Satan is running your life? You say, Brother Danny, I'm in control. I'll tell you what I've seen right here. I've been doing this a long time. And I've been looking at people and watching people for years and years and years. And I study this. I study spiritual stuff. And I think spiritual. Everything that comes through, I look at it spiritually, look at it from both sides. I've seen two young ladies come here to church one Sunday morning. And I hadn't seen them in years. Used to be some bus kids. And sat right up right on the second row right here. One of them come up to me and said, Brother Danny, you remember me? I said, yes, I do remember you. And they said, we need to come to church. We need to hear some preaching. We're here. And I said, praise God, girls. Just sit down there and get it. About 45 minutes later, there's a man walked through them doors right there. This has been about 3 years ago. This man, young man, has a reputation of just getting every young girl he can possibly find and messing up their life. And within 5 minutes, this place was nearly full. Within 5 minutes, that young man had that girl sitting way back there. And the whole time I was preaching, he was just talking to her like that. And they left together. I believe that he was driven by Satan. Come in here. You don't think the devil sends people to church sometimes? I'm telling you, that book said he was driven of the devil. And that girl couldn't even listen that day. Ain't no doubt in my mind that boy led by the devil. Have you ever tried to get your life straightened out and something keeps driving? Somebody said, it keeps driving me back to that same old place, Brother Danny, and them same old friends. And I can't, and you know, I try to quit, but next weekend I'm going right back to the old club. I'm going right back to the old drinking hole. I'm going right back to it. You're driven! Of the devil! You need to be set free. Are you sick of Satan ruling your life and running your life? You say, preacher, is that really real? Listen, we have all the time you have women on TV that drown their kids in the bathtub and say they're hearing voices. Now, if that's just your imagination, how come them voices don't tell them to bake them a cake and be good to them? Huh? Somebody said, oh well, they just have psychological problems. Well, how come it ain't good? Why is it always drowning them in the bathtub? Just this week, on the news this week, a woman killed a little child. Y'all might have seen that. I think it was one of Nancy Grace or somebody had them on there. And she killed this little kid about 7 or 8 years old. And you know what she told the police? She said, the voices in my head were telling me that she had demons. And you're going, listen, that woman was full of demons herself. The demons in her were telling her to kill. God didn't tell her to do that. The Lord didn't lead her to do that. I'm telling you, we've never seen a generation ever that is driven by the devil like we see in this generation time. Amen? That's right. The Bible said there's some people in the Bible that are taken captive by him, Satan, at his own will. I don't know about you, but that scares me. I don't know about you, but I would not want to think the devil could just get me and do anything he wants to with me. I wouldn't want Satan running my life. Are you sick? There's some of you sitting here today, you're so full of sin. You've been sinning all week. And listen, alcohol, drugs, immorality, all that, you're just opening yourself up to sin, giving the devil control of your body, and he will control you. He'll drive you if you'll let him. You listening? Heard about some kids. They said, teenagers, about five of them in a car. They were driving down the road listening to a Prince album, CD. And Prince had a song on there called Would You Die For Me? And they were listening to this song and they all started talking about suicide. And they said, man, let's just do it. Let's just do it. And they said, while that song was playing, something got in there and took hold. The guy said it's like something was driving the car's wheel, and we was headed for a bridge about 80 miles an hour. We said, we're just going to do it. Now, you teenagers think, oh, that's silly, man. I'd never get that bad. But he starts out. It starts out little at a time. When you're 14, 15, 16, you know, do a little, you know, right, little rap, little rock, little, starts out just a little at a time. See, the devil's got better sense. He's going to come to you when you're in church and you're 15 years old and say, hey, I'm going to ruin your life. He just said, oh, this little bit won't hurt. This little bit won't hurt. This little bit won't hurt. Next thing you know, when you're 22 years old and your mama begs you to come to church, something won't even let you get out of bed. Something's got to hold your life. There's a force. There's a power. The Bible said Satan drove him. You say, Brother Danny, I never knew that. It's in about Luke chapter 8. The Bible said Satan drove him like you drive, like I let you drive my car. You drive it. You don't own it. It's mine. But I let you drive it. The devil can't own us as Christians, but he can sure drive us if we let him. You say, can Christian be controlled by the devil? Yes, sir. Absolutely. He can't own you. He can't get your soul. He can't get, but he can sure control your flesh. 1 Corinthians 5, the book of Acts, all the way. One of them, Paul said, Satan has filled thine heart to lie. I read about this boy. I'm going to tell you this and I'm done. He was begging his mama to go to a rock concert. And she said, no, you're not going. He had his headphones on. He said, Mama, I'm going. All my friends are going. I'm going. She said, you're not going. That boy waited till his mama was in the bed. He said he went and got his daddy's pistol out of the drawer, took it and held that pistol to his mother's head and blew her brains out right there in the bed. And the police come and got him. And he come and got him. And by this time, the devil had probably just left him there. And they had him in that little room interrogating him, you know, where they take him in there and try to get him to confess and everything. And they said, man, you killed your mama. And he said, no. No! I couldn't have killed my mama! No! See, he's in his right mind now. Yeah. Something had a hold of him earlier. Right. Something was driving him. And I don't know if I was you here this morning. You get out there in one of them parties and you can feel something driving you. You better watch what you're messing with, buddy. You better watch. There's a power that's second to God only can get a hold of you. And they said they called a preacher. And the preacher is coming down the hall to visit that boy in his cell. And before he ever got down there to his cell, he could hear that boy screaming down that hall, no! No, Mama! I didn't mean to kill you, Mama! I want to go back! Why can't I just go back? Why can't we just go back? He was sick of Satan running his life. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You think I might be over-dramatizing it just a little bit? I've had people tell me many, many times something was got a hold of me, preacher. Something made me do it. I didn't want to, but something got a hold of me. Are you sick of that? Ain't you sick of that? Jesus said, I came not for those that are well, but for those that are sick. Are you sitting here this morning, you're sick of self ruling your life? Ain't you tired of being so selfish? Are you sick of sin ruining your life? And are you sick of Satan running your life? They that are sick need the physician. And I'm going to tell you this and I'm through this morning. D.L. Moody said one time, he told his man, and now don't you listen to this. He told this man, he said, I can teach you in 3 minutes what it took me 42 years to learn. The man said, what's that? He said, number one, I can do nothing to save myself. Number two, God don't expect me to. Number three, Jesus did it all for me. I'm going to tell you this morning, friend, the victory this morning, right here on this altar, is in Jesus Christ. Not how you feel. It's not an emotional thing. Thank God for emotions. You don't have to be all tore up and crying. You come down here this morning and you say, God, I'm letting you take control of my life. Get the devil out of me, off of me, away from me, or from around me. Keep him off of me. I'm going to plead the blood. And I'm sick of Satan running my life. And you can walk out that door this morning free, a new person. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's talking. Nobody's moving. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you sick?